So you mentioned earlier that you were working on a new JavaScript application.
Yes, it's nothing too crazy or fancy. It's just really simple. It's scratching an itch that I've had for a while, in that the app that I use for checking the tides and checking the surf is really terrible. I guess I'll just say it, Surfline. The Surfline app is really bad. It's been really bad.
Shots fired.
It's been really bad for a long time. So what I'm doing is I am using the Weather Underground API, and I'm just grabbing some data based off of the device's location, or I'm going to add a search input as well. But it just grabs the forecast and just spits it out into little cards by day. And so it gives you what time the tide is, if it's high or low, and all that kind of stuff. So just really useful information split into cards that's easy to get at. Whereas in Surfline, I have to go to the break, then I have to scroll all the way down and look through these graphs, and that's if the app's even working or hasn't crashed.
So, sure, I've seen you use that app, and it looks like a travesty. I don't know anything about surfing, but what's really interesting to me is that you are using Vue.js for this app, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So this is your first time using it. How are you liking it?
I actually like it a lot. I like it a lot, a lot.
Why? Why is it not terrible?
It's not terrible because I can lay out the application how it works in my mind, I guess. I don't have to retrain how I'm thinking about things. So when I'm writing templates, I just write HTML and I give it classes. And I guess the only thing new would be using directives, you know, so like the Vue-repeat directive. But sure. That to me is just like kind of writing in a JavaScript template, right?
It feels very natural. It doesn't seem natural. It doesn't seem like another layer of crap on top of all the rest of the crap sandwich that is web development.
Yeah, yeah. I don't feel like I have to just be okay with whatever I'm using because it solves some problems that I normally would have to do myself in every project. So far I haven't really had to make any concessions. Like, I can be okay with that because this is making my life easier. It's just worked how I've wanted it to.
Sure. A big problem, like, I think both of us have messed around a little bit with Angular and React, probably more than we would have liked to because clients. and one of the big problems for me is that both of those kind of mess up your DOM a lot. You write a template that you say, okay, it's these five tags and they do this thing. And then you either end up with 20 tags instead of five tags, or you end up with five tags with 50 data attributes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. This feels a lot cleaner. It feels a lot lighter too. Like I said, I'm writing just some HTML with a few directives in it. And I'm sure it can get more complicated down the road, but it seems like, even at that point, it's not as complicated as say an Angular app. So the last Angular app that I worked on was really interesting because it was set up by a Java dev who does primarily backend, and he said the client wanted Angular. So he had gone ahead and constructed the base of the app, I guess, to hook into his API. And so I had to kind of build on top of that. And it wasn't great. In fact, it was, I mean, you probably remember it. It was the worst. Yes.
It was uncomfortable.
It was very uncomfortable. Yes. And I think at that time, and granted, this was like, what was it? Maybe a year and a half ago,
something like that. Yeah.
Granted it was a year and a half ago, but the docs were terrible. And the funny thing is, on Twitter recently, I've heard people say that one of the great things about Angular is their documentation is so good. But my experience was exactly the opposite. The documentation was terrible. It was way different than what I was used to. And, you know, granted, it was a new workflow. But at the same time, I did not like it. Did not like it at all.
Right. I think it's really funny that that project was set up by a Java dev and he was like, let's use Angular, because Google internally, they use a lot of Java-y things, or at least some of their teams do. And Google also is a big backer slash owner slash whatever they are now of Angular.
Yep.
And so maybe, I mean, that's probably why you see a lot of people from that Java world getting into Angular and being like, oh, this makes total sense to me, and it makes the web not horrible.
Right. But at least, I mean, Google doesn't use Angular in their apps, right?
I'm not sure exactly where they do or don't use Angular. That's always been kind of a weird thing, because they sponsor it or own it or whatever they do.
Yeah, I think they sponsor it. So I bring that up because I recently heard, I can't remember his name, but it was a React person giving a talk on React, and they fired shots at Google because they're saying at least Facebook uses the thing that they make, basically.
Gotcha. Okay.
Bustering. So that was the whole joke was, well, at least React is being used by the people that, you know, putting all this time into making it. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Definitely shots fired.
I mean, dogfooding is that's kind of interesting, actually, because Google has always been a dogfooding kind of company. Like, they use Hangouts internally. They use Gmail internally. They use a lot of their stuff. I mean, and obviously they use Google Search internally, but that's just because everything else sucks.
Yeah.
So I that is kind of telling, actually, that they wouldn't use Angular for their own stuff. Like, why would you make a thing if you don't think that it's the best solution? And I don't have an answer for this. And maybe that's not even why. You know, they're a big company, so they have their reasons, I'm sure.
I mean, it could just be as simple as exploring. I mean, look at Dart. They obviously dumped a lot of resources into that and then decided that they didn't want to use it, or it wasn't going to be implemented how they wanted it to. So, you know, just kind of, it's a thing, but that's about all it is.
Right. It's sort of just like throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Facebook does actually seem directly invested in having React as part of their stack.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, I mean, they're obviously invested in it, but I read something recently that said that the entire application now is Reactified. It's all being compiled via Babel.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, it's cool that they're doing that. They're actually using what they're building, which I think is great.
Definitely.
You know, but, you know, it's cool. I'm trying to learn more about it. Like I said, I sat down with Adam Simpson and just kind of asked him some questions and asked him what he thought about React. And so I'm trying to keep an open mind about it. I kind of already have my opinions on it. And, you know, just the other night I was having dinner with someone that works at Facebook, and I brought up React. And so we talked a little bit about it there. So I'm trying to keep an open mind about it. But so far, I'm really enjoying Vue. I think that components are definitely the way to go. And I think that they're only going to keep getting bigger and bigger, you know, especially. So having some experience in building apps, kind of the old school way, you know, not using components, just kind of one-off classes, reusable classes at that, but moving towards working with components, I feel like development speed is increased. My ability to comprehend what's going on by just looking at the markup is increased.
Right. I think there's kind of a general consensus now that web components, or whatever you want to call them, make a lot of sense. It's clearly the way that things should go and need to go.
Yes.
It's just a matter of figuring out how that actually ends up looking, like what the implementation details of that methodology are.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think your point earlier about the DOM getting cluttered, if anyone's ever inspected a React app and looked at the DOM, it's wild how many elements are added in there.
Right. Yeah. With stuff like JSX always comes up as, oh, I really like React. It's awesome. But JSX is kind of weird. I can live with it because I really like React, but I would rather not have to deal with JSX. And that, yeah, I feel like that's a major pain point that I've heard from a bunch of different people.
Yep.
And there was actually that article from Eric Elliott, I believe, a while back that was kind of popular. JSX looks like an abomination, but it's actually great, or it's actually good for you. It's actually good for you. These are comparing to like vegetables, I think.
Yeah. I actually have it pulled up right here. And the header image is a giant slice of brownie cake, it looks like. Fudge caramel cake. It looks really good.
Oh, goodness, that looks delicious. I could go for that right now.
It's propaganda, Paul.
What was really interesting to me about that article was that he says that the thesis statement is that JSX is, it's good for you, but it's not fun, essentially. And that's fine, but the entire article doesn't really explain that point at all. It's just like, you should use it because it's part of React.
Right.
And that's an argument that I hear over and over, is like, well, you know, it's JSX and I'll deal with it. And with Vue, it's, I'm also using it in an app right now. And so far it's been amazing because I write HTML and then I add, you know, some attributes to the elements, or I use custom elements, but it's not an entirely separate language. It works. The syntax highlighting that I have for HTML works, and it looks like yeah. HTML. And yep. In the DOM, when it's actually rendered, it is just valid HTML sitting there in the DOM. I you don't have to do anything crazy with React styles. It can just be, you know, you write in CSS or SCSS or less or post CSS or whatever. Stylus. And then you're good to go. It lets you, it gives you the freedom to choose a lot more of your technology stack than something like React does, while having the same end result.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing is that every React dev that I've talked to, they love React. They love the React methodology of the way of thinking and way of building applications. They are accepting of JSX, and that's about it.
Right. They tolerate it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, they tolerate it. And, you know, I'm scrolling through some JSX examples right now. In the article you mentioned, JSX looks like an abomination. And I don't like I don't like this markup. I don't like how it's formatted. These on-click things look strange to me. Using ES6, I think I don't know. It just rubs me kind of weird.
When I look at JSX, it's like somebody was thinking about JavaScript and just said, you know what JavaScript doesn't have enough of? Curly braces. Let's add some more of those. Let's add way more curly braces.
Let's do everything in an attribute.
Yep.
Let's do it all. Just do it all there. Just do it all in there. No, I mean, I actually used React Native I was interested, you know, after I built a couple of backbone apps, I wanted to see if there was a better solution out there than the travesty that is a phone gap. And so I tried, you know, I tried React Native and I was able to make it work, and it worked fine. It was just so, I just, you know, it just took me a while to get into wrapping my head around it. But I guess the thing that I like most about React, honestly, is that you can have it render whatever you want. So in the case of React Native, instead of spitting out DOM, it's spitting out native iOS controls.
Sure.
I also just read a article that Netflix Engineering put out. So they all switched to React, and on some of their platforms, and you know, their web platform obviously uses React and regular DOM, but they're using React on other devices. Only it's rendering those native device components. Which, I mean, that's the coolest thing, I think, is that you can essentially have the same app running, and depending on the environment, you can have it spitting out a different end result.
Sure, but that's always rough for me. First of all, Netflix also chose Silverlight. So
they did.
But for me, you kind of get back into the whole write once, run anywhere philosophy, which I think is always awesome if you can pull it off.
Sure.
But also Java and Flash.
Yes.
Right. So it's something where, yes, that would be really cool if you can actually make it work. But can you actually make it work?
Right.
That's the real question.
Yeah. Can you make it work well without having to make a ton of concessions to get to that point?
Yep.
I think we're getting closer. I mean, obviously React is doing that. with some concessions, you know, but I think we're getting closer, which is exciting. But so far, you know, having a little bit of experience with React, I'm really, really enjoying Vue. And I think that, you know, working for a consulting business, not necessarily, I don't work at a startup, so I work at a consulting business. And obviously, you know, the faster you can turn around apps, the more money you can make. So I think that, you know, this web component idea can, number one, help me turn around these apps faster, which is more profitable for business, but also, number two, turn around a better application.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm pretty stoked on it. You know, I think a couple of weeks from now we can talk more about it and I'll know more about it. But right, so far Vue has been great. And you know what? I didn't have to set up Webpack. I didn't have to have this crazy tool chain to build this stuff. I'm using Node modules instead of Bower just to install my dependencies. So that way, if I send you the code, you can just npm install and you got it. And I'm using plain JavaScript and plain CSS, and it's working like a charm. So I've been talking a little bit about what I've been working on, and I know that you have been working on a pretty cool JavaScript tool. It's framework agnostic, and it is for picking dates in web apps.
Yeah, so this came up. This is something that we deal with pretty much in every application we make. Like, yep. Okay, we need a new date picker style, and we need it to be, you know, we need it to match this application, but we also need to make sure that it's nice and usable. And also, we need a time picker, and it should be a date time picker. But those don't seem to really exist in JavaScript. It's either you have a date picker and then two selects next to it, or you just have a bunch of selects in a row, or something weird like that, or you use one of these custom solutions with, I've seen somewhere it's like you move your mouse left to right and it slides, it moves through a select automatically. It's really interesting. But sure. Anyway, all that aside, we decided that enough was enough and we needed to just make kind of our own tool for this because we don't want to include all of jQuery UI or even just their custom build. Just for the date picker, that's way, way overkill.
Sure.
And we need something lightweight. So Zach Kelly helped design this tool. We ended up calling it Sundial. It is based on the Material Design date picker style, but it also incorporates a time picker without the clock face. I'm sure that some people are familiar with the Material Design's time picker. It actually has a clock face where you drag the hour and minute hands around. It's kind of
crazy.
It's kind of goofy in my opinion, honestly.
I've never actually seen that, but hearing you describe it, I would not want to do that. I just would not want to do that.
Right. It's one of those very, very not skeuomorphic because it doesn't look like a real clock. It doesn't have the shadows and lighting, but it's taking this old concept and just stuffing it into the computer for no apparent reason.
Sure. For like kicks and for like vanity reasons, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it wasn't something where somebody said what's the most usable way we can make this happen. It was just like, yeah, oh, yeah, I know definitely. What clock.
I obviously have looked at the Sundial source code and I'm looking at it right now in fact. And I think the coolest thing about this is that it is truly agnostic. You know, it's not another React component. Hey everyone, I made a React component for this previously jQuery component. It's agnostic. It'll work with React, it'll work with Vue. God forbid it'll work with Angular.
Yeah, that was a huge goal for me. So when I went into this, I have my preferences about what frameworks and technologies I want to use now. But first of all, that's going to change over time because I'm human and I will update my preferences. And secondly, other people will have things they want to use. If somebody wants to use React or if somebody doesn't want to use jQuery, then they should, by all means, still be able to use my tool if they want to use it. So yeah. That was a huge thing for me where I didn't want to have any dependencies or as few as possible. So what it ended up with is that moment.js, the time, the date JS library that mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody's familiar with, super awesome and very lightweight.
I used it today.
It's wonderful. That is the only dependency though. There is no, it doesn't require underscore, it doesn't require jQuery, no DOM library. You can take it and write a wrapper if you want it to work with jQuery, or as a React component or Vue component or Angular or any of these things. It's very easy to take because it is mm-hmm. just a JavaScript class. It's just new sundial, and then you pass an element and options, and that's it. And sure. that's super. I think that if you're writing tools that you want a lot of people to use, it's very important to look at how can I make this portable. It's sort of like accessibility for developers, I guess, right?
Yes. Yep. Well, I mean, you also mentioned it too. We, you know, Octopus, we pretty much every app there needs to be a date picker, so we end up having to either remake this thing or basically take another plugin and strip everything out, strip all the styles out, et cetera, and use that. So number one, I mean, it's great for other people as well, but it's also great for us because, again, you know, the faster we turn around apps, you know, the more business we can do. So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Right. And I think that this is a nice way that we can help ourselves while helping the community, hopefully, at least.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Also, the other cool aspect of this is that it's theme based. So adding a new theme is easy as just dropping in a new style sheet.
Right. There's actually no, that was kind of the second thing for me, is that there were no hard style dependencies. Basically, all you need to have something that functions, it's not going to be beautiful, but to have something that functions, the only CSS you need is like a display none and then display block when it has a visible class.
Right.
That's it. It's like two lines.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty terse, which is awesome.
Yep. So the entire thing is just, you take it and you apply whatever your app style is to it, and then you're good to go. Hopefully.
That's pretty great.
Yep. So speaking of making things easy and accessible for people, you linked me this article, and I think we have very different opinions on it. It was Joni Corpi. Joni, is that how you say that?
Joni.
Sorry, JK. it's called Zoomable UI for the Web.
Yep.
So you linked me this, and you were not very happy about it. Why is that?
Because it made me feel like I was clicking on a flashlight again. I don't know. I read part of the article, and he makes some good points, but I just don't like using this. I think that a lot of people love this because the animation is cool and it's snappy and all that. But if every freaking site were like this, I would hate my life.
It feels very, very different.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that necessarily means better. I right. personally kind of like this. I think this is interesting. I think that there's definitely some things that can be improved, like word, title positions and button positions and all that.
Consistency.
Right. I think this is very clearly a first pass at an idea.
Yeah.
But man, it's sure snappy.
Yeah, I mean, the animations are really well done. They don't take too long, so you don't have to wait around for an animation to finish, which I hate even more. Right. It's really well done. I think the thing that I didn't like about it at first was I was like, okay, I'm reading this article, and then okay, I click on this button, and then slam, there's a full screen animation. And then there's a bunch of sections that are kind of skewed a little bit, and the titles are a little bit different. And I was like, what is this? Is this a menu? So I click on one, and then it opens up, and the title moves somewhere else to the bottom, and then suddenly there's more options.
Right.
So I feel like if it were reined in a little bit, it would be easier to navigate. But I feel like there's a lot of people out there that would look at this and be totally confused. I mean, you know, those people that, sorry, continue.
We both had the benefit of the first page. I'm assuming that this is the first page you saw as well. The first page being the page that explains how the navigation works.
Correct. Yeah.
So if you just landed on his homepage, is that going to be usable, or is that going to be incredibly confusing to you? Like, what is happening when I click on these things? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that we both were kind of spoiled because we saw the article that explained, here's how you navigate my site, before we had to navigate the site. Yeah. And both of us actually fell into the trap of clicking into, I think we both clicked on old writing.
Yes.
And then it zoomed in, and then we were trying to click on old writing again.
Yeah, I was trying to scroll because I'm conditioned to expect scrolljacking now, which I hate.
Oh, goodness.
So I was trying to scroll, then I was trying to click, and I was like, what is this? Okay, there's only four articles. All right.
What happens if there's six articles?
You have to scrolljack it. I don't know.
It's very manicured right now, I think. I think it's a super interesting idea, but I'm not sure that it's necessarily scalable.
I my opinion is that it makes consuming his content too difficult. And that could just be me complaining because I don't want to scroll onto one of these four things and click on it. But I'm more used to having a menu and then the content being available right there instead of getting these different category pages, I guess, and then having a full screen transition between each.
Right.
It's sort of like a menu. It feels like a little much.
It's sort of like a menu of menus almost.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's like zooming into a drop-down menu, like an overflowing drop-down menu. That's what it feels like.
And like, the more I look at it, the more I understand where he's going. So on the homepage, if you look at the top two options, zoomable UI for the web and then the About Me one, both of those have the small titles in the top left. Yep. But the ones that are actually a sub-menu, have a larger title centered.
Sure.
But I think that's very, like, I don't think a normal user is going to pick up on that. I think they're just going to be like, oh, here's four things I can click.
Right.
And then some of them take you to another menu and some of them take you to actual content, which I think is kind of disorienting. It's that the hierarchy is off.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Hierarchy. The hierarchy is kind of spread out a little bit, which is fine. You know, I think he did it. Like I said, I think he did a great job in the animations and making it feel snappy and making it not control, like, take over your devices in your browser, like scrolljacking or messing with how the mouse works, which is insane to me. But I think you're right. I think it is mainly just kind of hierarchy, and the cues that you get are pretty subtle. And I think that, I mean, I didn't pay close enough attention to it at first. I think I clicked on the link and I was like, what is this? I was clicking a bunch of things and I closed it. Like, I don't have time for this, basically.
Yeah, it is kind of disorienting, especially without reading the explanation of how you navigate the thing, which I think is a really bad sign for whether or not it's intuitive.
You're right. Yeah, that's about how I feel about it. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that we've come a long way from the myriad of flash sites where there was barely any standard for navigation and barely any standard for information hierarchy. And we've come a long way from that. And I think it would be a shame to go back in that direction.
Sure. I mean, but at the same time, we have to keep trying new stuff, right? Because otherwise, everything is going to be a hamburger menu. And that's that's just as bad, right?
That's just as bad, yeah. It's kind of like how I feel about or React. It's like, oh, there's some things I don't like about it, but it's forward progress. It's progress in the right direction, so.
Yep, and it's all, you know, it's all people making this stuff.
Yeah.
None of it is ever going to be perfect. And in 200 years, it's still all going to be terrible because it's all people, and people make mistakes, and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, until the grid takes over, and then it's going to be machines, not people.
Can't wait.